Let us pray.
Almighty God, lead us into the green pastures of your scriptures and refresh our souls with your words. Amen. You may be seated. I have to admit to you that every year, this Sunday catches me off guard a little bit. See, because for the first three Sundays of Eastertide, we hear about Jesus' resurrection. Sort of makes sense with the season, doesn't it? And after Easter, we hear about his appearance to his disciples. And in the coming weeks, we'll begin to hear of Jesus' promise of his ascension to his Father and of the outpouring of his Holy Spirit upon the church. But here, tucked in the middle of all of that, is Good Shepherd Sunday. It comes on the fourth Sunday of Easter, and if you were to turn to the lectionary in the prayer book and look at this Sunday, you'll find that name printed in small italic words underneath of it, Good Shepherd Sunday. And every Sunday, we have an appointed collect of the day. It's that prayer that we say together that sets out the theme for our readings and helps us to pray in alignment with the season where we are. Today's collect tells us exactly what's going on. Christ is our good shepherd, and he speaks to us today by his word and sacrament, and in doing so, he calls each of us by our names to himself. In this twofold movement of word and sacrament, God names us, and he bids us, he invites us to come and follow where it is that he is leading us. And if you notice, it's not an if we hear his voice, no. It is when we hear his voice, when he is guiding and leading us. May we have the grace to follow where he leads. That is our prayer this morning. And so maybe all of this together gives us a clue as to why Good Shepherd Sunday is an Easter, why it's tucked right here in the middle of this holy season. But before we can meditate upon who Christ is as our Good Shepherd, Holy Scripture shows us this morning that he is the good shepherd of the sheep, and we are his sheep. It's one of Scripture's favorite metaphors for us, in fact, for all the people of God. And, well, it's not exactly the most flattering of images for us, is it? Because sheep are kind of dumb.
Oh, no.
One of my best friends in high school keeps sheep. And just about every time they come up in conversation, when I call him, there's really only two things to say. How many lambs have been born, and how many times they've escaped and he's had to go bring them back. The truth is that sheep need a shepherd. They just don't do very well without one. They need someone who knows them intimately, who guides them, who can move them successfully and securely from one place to another. And who can provide for them along the way, who knows each of their needs and knows how to respond to them. Our prayer book gets this right about us as it draws out this image from Scripture each and every day. Each day, twice a day, at morning and evening prayer, we confess our sins to God in these words: "We have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts." Now, if I were to be honest with you again, I don't really like being called a sheep, thank you very much. We the sheeple is not something I want identified with me or where I want to be found. And yet, here, that is what the Scriptures have to say. Because real sheep life looks a lot more like my friend's barn than it does in some serene pasture of some sweet depiction of Jesus with his sheep. It looks more like the open prairie, where the wind is constantly trying to blow you away, where the snow is up to your knees, and where coyotes are licking their lips in search of their next meal. When Scripture names us as sheep, it's telling us that we are far more vulnerable, far more in need, far more distractible than we might want to believe about ourselves. We have erred and strayed, just like little sheep, and this has opened us up to all manner of hurt. If packs of coyotes weren't bad enough, Well, then there's false shepherds, the scriptures warn. Jesus tells us this morning that there are thieves and robbers out there who will come and sneak in. And they're more interested in lamb chops than they are than providing for the sheep. Take even the shortest look at our church history, even our own history in the Anglican world, and you will find countless examples of shepherds who have lined their pockets and built their brand off the backs of people's generosity. It's one thing for the world to come against us, isn't it? To come against the church from the outside. But it's another thing, and frankly a far worse one, for the shepherds to tear and devour the very people that they were called to defend and to protect. And God's word is clear. For these shepherds, the Lord's judgment is coming. And then there's the greatest enemy of God's people, as if it couldn't get any worse than that. There is that great thief who comes in to steal the very life away from the sheep. Death comes to rob us all that is good in this world, to lead us through the valley of his very own shadow at times. He comes to steal, to destroy, and he shows no mercy as he takes loved ones from the oldest down to the youngest. And yet God knows all this. God knows we need a shepherd, and he will take that role for himself. We need one who will go after us when we have gone astray. We need a shepherd who, as St. Luke tells us, will leave the 99 and seek out and save the one. We need a shepherd who will come and use his staff to drive away the distractions of our lives. Distractions of money, media, politics, just go down the list. And who will make us lie down beside still waters and in places of calm, in places of his peace. We need our shepherd to reach his hand into the jaws of death. And even when it snaps its mouth shut upon his hand and the blood begins to flow from his wounds, he will not let us go. That is the shepherd we need, and that is the shepherd of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the good shepherd who will go to any length to save his sheep. There is nothing he will not do for the sake of his flock, and he is powerful to do it. The prophet Nehemiah tells us this morning all the ways that God has shown himself a faithful shepherd to this world and to his people. Christ has shepherded creation from its beginning. He has tended to the heavens, and his rod and his staff have set the boundaries of the seas. He has chosen his servant Abram and called him by a new name. And when Abraham heard the voice of the Lord leading him, guiding and shepherding him, he followed after him to the land of promise, a land of pasture. Christ heard the fearful bleatings of his people when they were slaves in Egypt. He led them out of bondage and through the wilderness, and he provided for them water and bread along the way. But to save his people, he did the absolutely unimaginable. That great divine shepherd became one of his sheep. The Passover lamb who was killed for the salvation of the people, his blood is what was spread over the doorposts to save them. There's a bishop from the early church, Bishop Basil of Seleucia, who lived in the 400s, and he wrote this: "For the sake of his flock, the shepherd was sacrificed as though he was a sheep. Death held sway until Christ died. The grave was bitter. Our prison was indestructible until the shepherd went down and brought to his sheep confined there the good news of their release." Christ is the good shepherd who calls his sheep. Christ is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the one who will go all the way down to the grave to speak the names of each of us and to call us out of that place. It is his grace all the way down, forward, backward, beginning and to end. And there is no place in his gospel that he has not worked to open the way of eternal life in his name. And he even tells us this morning how that's so. When the people of God don't understand what Jesus is saying about being the good shepherd, he clears it up for them by telling them, I'm the door. He is the way that we enter into the presence of God. He opens the way for us to return to the Father when we have sinned against him. And when death has snuck into the pen and begun to devour the sheep, he is the door that shuts us in so that no harm can come to his people again. He will lock out the evil of this world so that we might dwell in his peace, no longer harassed and distracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this narrow door, thanks be to God, will even slam shut in the face of shepherds who have given up their duty to guard and defend the sheep. And even when they cry out, we ate and drank with you in your presence, just as Jesus says, and you taught in our streets, then Christ will say to them, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Christ will defend his flock even from these. For Christ is the door of the sheep, and the righteous shall enter through him. When our ancestors in the faith were trapped in Egypt, God commanded them to take the blood of the lamb and place it on the lintels of the door. It was a sign, a covering, that protected them from the angel of death and assured them of their place among God's own covenant people. And so the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, has placed his blood on the door of salvation. We who are baptized in his name, who share in his Passover feast, are those who have been led out from the bondage to death. Christ, our Passover lamb, as we say, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. And so maybe this is why Good Shepherd Sunday falls on the fourth Sunday of Easter. Christ the shepherd sheds the blood of a lamb so that he might knock down the gates of hell in triumph and call to his sheep who were lost in darkness and in the shadow of death. And by his glorious resurrection, this good shepherd leads us out of the grave and into the heavenly places. He has gone there, he says, to prepare a place for you, a house, a home to live with him forever. And he is the door even to that house. And on the door, there is a sign on the front of it. And written in his own blood is a message to each of us. And it says, welcome home, my child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.